Indeed, we need to know who has the authority. Praise the Lord. What interested me most is that even the one asking someone to go to the guest house says he's also the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So that was quite interesting for me. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. To you, O God, belongs power, greatness, and majesty. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to know who is supreme and how you are supreme in our lives. Speak to us. May I humble myself so that you may rise and speak to us this afternoon. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh. I guess now I understand what people usually say. I am having mixed feelings. In a sense that I am feeling excited that I have finished the course, and I'm also excited that I've come to the end of my placement. On the other hand, I'm feeling sad because I am going to miss you. So I think I am having mixed feelings. I don't know how to feel. Praise the Lord. But what is important is that I am here to thank all of you, to thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to learn. I have learned a number of things during my time in this place that I believe will make me a better person when I go back home. After this week, we will be having a retreat at the university, and then I'll be going back to the Diocese of Kumi to prepare and wait for the date of ordination. So please clap for yourselves for training me. It is not an easy thing. We literally take 4 years there. And if you find yourself at the final day, at the final time, you celebrate God because he has given you an opportunity to do that. This afternoon, the theme that we are learning is the supremacy of Christ. And that is taken from the episode that was read here. Friends, you realize that today we live in a world of doctrinal crisis where everybody seems to understand what they're speaking. Unfortunately, most times it's out of the Bible. Just last week, we concluded the celebration when we're celebrating Easter, a period where us believers, we reflect the power of Christ over death when he rose over death and demonstrated that power that is supreme over death. It is a period where as believers, we reflect on many things. As believers, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But what is it that usually happens during this Easter? Most of the times, it's now been taken as an ordinary holiday. Because it's a long holiday, we take time off from work. We are actually been living in Mukono. Very early in the morning, as early as 6 o'clock, you begin hearing radios advertising of which artist is coming to perform during Easter. The most funny one, even sex workers were giving discounts for Easter. So that brings me to asking questions as a believer. Do we really understand who we believe in? Do we understand who we celebrate? Do we understand the God we worship? And who is Christ? This seems to be the same period, the same situation that Paul is addressing in the Colossian church. Paul is writing to a Colossian church which is having a lot of differences in their teachings. They are having what we call the heresies, false teachings, where they are being taught different things. Other Jews are teaching them that for you to be saved, you need to follow the law of Moses. And so they are confused. They don't seem to understand what is it that they are worshiping. So Paul is writing to them to help them understand who God is and who Jesus Christ is. In fact, he's explaining to them that the God who you're worshiping is supreme above all. And that is what we are going to be learning this afternoon. In today's reading, we are reminded that Christ is supreme above all the visible and invisible. That is the reading that we had today. In fact, the objective that I want us to attain by the end of this session is, you'll find it in the same book, the Epistle of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. It reads, "Therefore, you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." So today we want to understand that a lot of things are happening out there. We are being told a lot of information, most of times that are defined by human philosophy, that are meant to suit the interest of the speaker rather than the doctrines that God has put in the writings of the Bible. And so in this writing, we are going to focus majorly on three things that we are going to focus from the reading that we took early morning, that we took earlier on. Number one, we find it in verses 15. We're in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. The first thing that Paul tells the church of believers in Colossae, he says, Christ is the image of God. Remember, in the Old Testament, the creation story tells us that Abraham was created in the image of God. But here Paul is clarifying and says, Jesus is the image of God. Isn't that interesting? He's just not created in the image, but he is the image of God. In fact, in Hebrew chapter 1, verse 3, this confirms that. He says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his power. So no one else contains that power but Jesus, the one who rose from the dead. That is how supreme he is. Paul also calls him the firstborn of all creation. This does not mean that Jesus was a firstborn as in birth order, but he simply explains that he bears the privilege of the Creator. If you read in Psalms 89:27, God actually refers to David as a firstborn. All I will appoint him to be my firstborn, the most exalted of all kings of the earth. So when you look at this, was David really the firstborn even in their family? He was not even the first king. But God was simply trying to describe him at the purpose of privilege, that he possesses all the privileges. And so Jesus is supreme because he has that privilege as the firstborn of all creation. That is how supreme he is. Friends, this assures us that Christ is enough. The second thing that we read there is Christ reveals the Father. So if he is the image of God, it means we are able to see God through him because he reveals the Father. Jesus himself confirms this in the Gospel of John. John records this in his Gospel. And he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the Father. I and the Father is one.
So he confirms to us that it just doesn't look like the Father. He is the real image of God. That's how supreme he is. No one else is like that. That is how supreme the God we worship is. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what he said himself. The Apostle John also testifies that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and our hearts have touched, this we proclaim. This is the Apostle. He wrote this in the first epistle of John. He was confirming to us believers that the things that we are writing, the things that are written, we have seen with our own eyes. We have touched with our own hands. And so when we are talking about this, we're just not speaking from the air. We saw it. That is what John is affirming to us. And so when Paul writes that he is supreme and he said this, those people defended that truth and even put their lives. Can you defend a lie with your life? Can you defend something you're not sure of with your own self? No. They were sure, and that's why they wrote it, so that they would delight in that truth. And thank God we are able to benefit from it today. Therefore, Paul assures us that Christ is the ruler of all creation, visible and invisible, and sustainer of all creation. He is the sustainer of all creation. The third thing, Christ is the head of the church. That is in verse 18. Paul writes and says, and he is the head of the body. And therefore, because he is the body, he tells us that he is the true vine. When you want to benefit from this attachment, then you must cling to the true vine. And he says, I am the true vine. That is in John 15. I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because you are not supreme, he is the only one who is supreme. So for you to benefit from that supremacy, you must attach yourself to him who is supreme. Praise the Lord. Friends, you cannot find a tamarind tree bearing apples. So if you're attaching yourself to something else, if your faith is attached in something else, apart from the supreme one, you expect the fruits from that you've attached your faith. Most times, we see, I call them the men of God. The men of God. They tend to think, you've heard about the holy water. You've heard about the holy rice. You've heard about the holy handkerchiefs. The faith has been attached to objects. But Christ is telling us that he is the only supreme one. So when you want to find that you're searching for, you find it in him, because he is supreme. Because Christ is supreme, one of the things that we identify in it, that he has reconciled us with God. He's the only one who had the power to reconcile us with God. Colossians 21:22. Once you were alienated from God, but now he has reconciled you by the Christ's physical body through death. Who else has that authority? Who else possesses that kind of power to reconcile a sinner with God? Who else has that authority to reconcile you, the broken one, with God, the Creator? Only the Supreme One. That's why we call him the Supreme Lord of all creation. Christ is supreme because he has invited us to bring all our burdens to him. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, that come to me. The key word there is all. That what? Come to me, all. You who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is how he uses his privilege, to give us rest. Are you broken? Are you burdened? What is it that bothers you? There's a supreme one who has given you an opportunity to walk directly to him because he says, come to me, all. Something interesting is that he says, come to me, not through anybody. So when men of God deceive you that you can get blessings through them, that's a lie. Christ himself has invited us because of his supremacy that come to me, all, and you go to him with yourself, the way you are, openly. He will give you rest. Because he's supreme, he invites us to abide in him. Apart from him, we can be nothing. One other thing that he does, he promised us that whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 14. That whatever you ask in my name, which other name can you call on and you receive that yet you're calling? Which other name can you ask for help and you receive from God? Which other, it doesn't matter what titles they possess on earth, they do not have the authority to ask that from God, but only through the name of the Supreme Christ. Praise the Lord. I want to finish with this. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must we do to be saved? Paul answered him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That was an assurance that only Christ can save you. So that tells us that that is the kind of supremacy that he possesses, because he has the power to save your sin. Friends, to enjoy these privileges, you must have Christ in your life. Abide in him all the days of your life. Those who witnessed him, saw him, touched him, testified, even gave their lives to defend that truth. Therefore, let us hold on firmly. My teacher, when I was young, gave us an analogy and said, we need to cling to Jesus. So he gave us an analogy of saying that he was trying to describe what grace means. So as a child, I understood grace with that analogy of my teacher. He said, it's as if Jesus is inviting all of us, and then he lowers a string, a weak string, down like this. And so he says, if you want to be saved, hold this string. And so the Holy Spirit lifts that string up slowly, 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 slowly. So if you know that the string that you're holding is delicate, it is risky, how do you behave? You have to be loyal. You have to be faithful. You have to be honest. You have to abide by the rule of the one holding it. Otherwise, when you tinkle, you might break the rule and the string will break and you'll fall back. And then you'll need to repent so that the same string will be given unto you. That's the grace that he has given us. So I invite each one of you that it's only Jesus Christ who is supreme. And he has given us an opportunity and invite all of us to hold on to that truth. That truth that the apostles defended with their lives.
That's the truth that we are invited to follow. Around, usually we know when you go to Namugongo, sometimes you see people fetching the water and they are carrying that water, believing that they have gotten water which is going to save them. That water is going to give them a new life. That water is going to heal them. Friends, that is what I called attaching faith in something else. But Jesus has given us an opportunity. Because he's a supreme God, he has used that privilege of his supremacy to invite us. And he says, I am the true vine. Hold on to me. Because that defines his supremacy. I finish with this statement, that Jesus Christ is supreme, in that not even death could hold him. Only him overcame death. When he rose from the dead, we just confess in our Apostles' Creed that he rose from the dead, and he does what? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Who else do we know is seated at the right hand of the Father? If you know it, you can let me also know. As far as I'm concerned, I do not know. So Christ is supreme because even to this day, he is alive. And all those who believe know where he is. Even Muslims are waiting for him to judge, because their Quran says that he will come to judge us. So he holds the position of a supreme judge. And he will come and judge us. So I pray by the time he returns, he finds you at the right position so that you're not judged and cast. But you should be given a judgment, and he welcomes you to celebrate with him, and you will be in glory. We bless the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for teaching us your word. Thank you for speaking your message into our hearts. We pray that this message continues to transform our lives. We pray that you continue learning from the written word that you've given to us, and not be taken and diverted by human philosophy, but rather stick our faith into the word that has been written, the word of life that the apostles confessed and gave their lives to defend that truth. May we understand that truth so that when we proclaim it, we understand it, that we are serving a supreme God, Christ Jesus. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
May we appreciate Ordinary Boniface.